Mark chapter 2. And again he entered into Capernaum, after some days. And it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, take up thy bed, and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thy house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. So Jesus has come to Capernaum, and all these people come, and he's preaching the word. The word. What is the word? The nature and character of Jesus' preaching is pretty clear. He taught righteousness. He preached repentance from sins, forgiveness of sins, and continuance in righteousness. That's what he preached. He preached the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The kingdom of God is in righteousness, holiness, it is in peace, it is in the joy of the Lord. The kingdom of God is in those things internal to man. That's the internal kingdom. The internal kingdom comes first. The external kingdom comes second. That kingdom is coming second. A lot of people get the order mixed up. They think, first, the kingdom of God comes from heaven, and then I will change my ways. Then I'm going to alter my behavior. We have to be prepared for it. When we arrive at it, we want to already have our wedding garments on. I'm referring back to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22. We don't want to be unprepared when we get to that kingdom. Jesus preached things that would prepare men's hearts to enter into the kingdom. The number one thing that man needs that come out of man is faith. It is the first thing. And all other things that come out of man proceed after faith. But remembering also that faith itself is a gift from God, because not all men have faith. If not all men have it, then it is surely a gift. Not all men have legs, not all men have faith. It's just the way it is. Faith is required because God has ordained that all the gifts of God come by Him promising them, us believing them, and then receiving them. So the things promised by God must be received by faith. And in continuing in the faith of these things, we receive the promised object. Whether it be the promise of righteousness, whether it be the promise of patience, whether it be promises of the Holy Spirit, of all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus preached things. And what he was looking for from people was faith. He preached righteousness and truth. Read the Sermon on the Mount. Listen to my studies on Matthew 5, 6, and 7. I mean, Jesus is intimately concerned with personal morality. He's intimately concerned. And the Christian method to personal morality is not the Old Testament method, which was, you've got to do these things. And that inspired all kinds of legalism. Like Jesus used the example of murder. Thou shalt do no murder. But then you can justify yourself when you hate someone. You say, well, I didn't kill him. I'd like to, though. But I won't sin. I won't sin. I only hate his guts. And Jesus was saying that that sort of, to have a heart like that, to desire in keeping with the spirit of murder, is a violation of the spirit of the law, thou shalt not kill. The spirit of the law, thou shalt not kill, could be violated without ever killing someone. But legalism creates a righteousness that's fake, because you follow the letter of the law, but not the spirit. That's why Paul said the letter kills, but the spirit makes alive. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. He was looking for faith. He wasn't looking for a legalistic interpretation of the things he was doing. He was looking for faith. But Jesus preached a deeper righteousness, a righteousness which could only be obtained through faith. Through faith in his blood, which he was going to offer for sins. By believing in the promises, by having his blood on us, we are able to obtain a righteousness which exceeds legalistic righteousness. And that is the promise of Christianity, is to obtain that exceeding righteousness. The ministration of righteousness which exceeds in glory the ministration of condemnation, which is the law. So he sees these men, and there is a lot of faith in this. And Jesus likes that because he looks for faith. Because faith is the method by which the promises are obtained. That is how God ordained it. That those who would believe the promises would be the ones who would receive them. And he said, your son, your sins are forgiven you. And it's easy to fault the Pharisees in hindsight. I understand their perspective, but they don't have the wisdom we have. The wisdom which God hath hidden in a mystery. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says this. Chapter 2 verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. There's a wisdom which is hidden from the men of the Pharisees and the scribes, that if they would just get it, they wouldn't do the things they did. But to fulfill the scriptures, they were blinded to that wisdom that they would do these things. And of course, you know, if my studies get a little long-winded, it's because people are so lacking in understanding of the Bible. Because you say, well, Paul, that's terrible. How can you say that he would do such a thing to anybody? Well, it's lawful for God to do what he wills with what is his. God doesn't owe man an enlightenment. God doesn't owe man anything. God has already given man more